Hayoidim b'Kabbalah, as very different Pshutam. He does. He speaks about the Malachim. He goes through the whole how the heavenly spheres are built. He discusses a lot of stuff. Akadayim b'Kabbalah ma'idu ki asay shamayin abuchim mubasas atoris Kabbalah. The Rambam wrote to say that in the Mishnah Torah you don't see Kabbalistic structures and formations. In the Moir Nevuchim, the Gedolim of Kabbalim say that it is completely written on Kabbalistic concepts. The Moir Nevuchim was his guide to the perplexed. The Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg told me that the Moir Nevuchim is an exact shadow of the Ramat, or Moshe Kodavirov, remember the one was one of the Shivim, the Ramat, and in fact the Deedic work was the Shivim Tomorrow. Remember the one was one of the 70 Tomorrow. One of the Ramat Sforim, I can't remember which one it is, one of those, in there, he said he's chapter for chapter, word, verse for word, a mirror of the Rambam's Moir Nevuchim. The Rambam definitely had access to Kabbalah. The Leshem, who's Rabbi Lashem Zayda, who was in the Chofetz Chaim's word, the last of the great Kabbalim. He was the Chofetz Chaim Rebbe Kabbalah, Rabbi Lashem Zayda, Shomer Lashem. So he brings from the Moir Nevuchim that Moir was definitely written with Chokhmah Kabbalah in mind. The Lachen Yosem is not a Rambam Yoida Kabbalah. It's much more logical than Rambam New Kabbalah. And it's Yisrael, it's Yiddish, for whatever reason. Yishnah, Mashmoy, Sakah, Kamash Gosef, Khan, Rafay, Shom, Yishnais, Loshon, Kelter, Pretoria, Kabbalah, Taitis, Felicius. The Rambam uses, even in the Mishnah Torah, he uses Loshon, Taitis, Felicius, which we haven't worked out what it is yet, but it's a Kabbalistic concept. Vayit Yisvayin is there, Be'ikah, Yud Gimel, Be'chis, Amazim, Anshas. When we get to Be'chis, Amazim, eventually we'll get there, he'll discuss this in the Sefer itself in more length. I had a poshut riot at the Rambam New Kabbalah, because the Rambam was a poetic. The Rambam says you can't pass in a lock unless you know Kabbalah. You can't pass in a lock if you don't know one of the Chalokim of Shulchan Aruch, right? Because what you need to know for this truck may be lying there. The Moshe finds you couldn't pass in a lock unless you knew the whole of Shulchan. If you forgot what Duff, the Moshe held there, he forgot what Duff and Tosu was on, he couldn't qualify himself from Paskinim. So how do you Paskin Lochim? You haven't got Kabbalah. Torah. Fundamental part of Torah is you never got Kabbalah, how can you Paskin Lochim? The Rinovim says they were foolish. And the Leshem in that Dhamma, if you wanted to spot him, says, Vani Tamur, I can't remember his declaration, of the very Neha, Tachomim, Shal Dua Zeh, Shal Paskin Lochim, and Lohi Zeh Tachof Mazeh. He says, I'm amazed that those people are Paskin Lochim, I don't know this, I don't know this wisdom. So how could the Rambam have been this basic and written a paper on stuck for the whole of the Sunday school and not an extra to Kabbalah? The whole Sunday school that he never knew. So I was always a Tmeh, what's even the Hagman is that Rambam never knew Kabbalah? But it seems the other the same that Rambam never knew Kabbalah. What could be such is he never had a Messiah in Kabbalah. I mean, it was the one who knew Kabbalah, whatever, but he wasn't one of the, like the Rivers. The Rivers was for sure the technical of the Kabbalistic Messiah. Could be that that's what it means, that the Rambam didn't have, he wasn't on the direct line of Messiah, maybe. But the fact that he never knew Kabbalah is really almost impossible to understand.
So do you think that the rule of line that you need to have learned Kabbalah?
I don't think we're saying it's a suck. Everyone understands, like, that if you haven't learned Kabbalah, you're missing a major chunk of Torah, and therefore, who says a fuck God? It's impossible to be a poetic today without having had some access to Kabbalah. Because the Mephoshim and the Vaishnavim wanted to quote from the Kabbalah all the time. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Rizal all the time. There's very often machlokes between Kabbalah and Halacha. That's, you know, how we touch it. Very often, say, to say that people fight, they begin to fight because they don't have a little Mishnah Berurah. So what's your point? What's your question? He's talking about that level of stuff. To say that Rabbi Lashev is the poetic adorn, he's never learned Kabbalah, it would be a major, major part of the sin, and that's what you say. You can pass kind of lock on things that you really. You learn Shulchan Aruch and you have to start using Mishamish by a Chokhem. Well, yes. You say you can't pass kind of lock until you know the whole Torah. You know, no one will ever pass it. We were talking at his level where Halacha was being established, where If you think about your local Orthodox rabbi, you have to decide whether, you know, you have to cash your fox or not. It's at that level of stuck. It's a Mishnah Brura level of stuck, where you're going to be the final, the Chazanish, for example, who is the final codification at that level, the final day in stuck. By him, to say that he went out publicly and set up rules and regulations, punished all the Torahs, and he's missing a big chunk of Torahs. So it's impossible to understand. And the Leshem says it, the Purush, and the Rain says it. I think where Chaim Sanz is also being figured out. This is an aside here. I mean, when's the Pshutas of Musa? We certainly don't know Kabbalah. So what's this concept of Chaytish Mitzvah? What it means is that he's removed himself. Kais says benetir. It means he's cut himself off from the tier, from the planting. It's the figurative language. It means he's uprooted himself from the source of life. Shahu cuts the sharoshim shemem hu niyarei kol kibbutz chusa. He is cutting himself off, detaching himself from the root from which he obtained sustenance. Right? Very simple motion is you unplug, as I said yesterday, your computer from the wall. So now it's not working. Of course, because you detach it from a source of life. The source of life is chashmal, electricity, and you've switched off the plug, you've pulled the plug out the wall. From the socket. So then, how do you expect the machine to work? Remember, you detach the truth from a truth. It can't work. So if you detach a Jew from one of the Yud Kimberly Karim, so he doesn't have he's lacking his life force. A Jew in this world is a marshal of somebody who's a scuba diver, yeah, he's a deep sea diver. The Shah comes Manrub and he's under the water for a long time. He needs to be connected somehow to a source of oxygen. Kibrebush human attacker is the Makor who will in the mosque. Detaching from the source of oxygen, he dies. The oxygen of a Jew is the Yud Gimli Korim. From those 13 Korim, a Jew draws substance. The minute he detaches himself from them, or a filu me'ikir echad, even from just one of them, he's removed himself from a spiritual existence, and he is likely to die.
So a Jew who's alive, the Guf is alive.
The Guf, not about the Guf. It says Rosha the Chaim Nikramei. He's like he's dead. The Gemara in Makkah says that a person has to you go to your mikveh and take his rebbe with him. Not with your rebbe. So they ask, one second, where's the rebbe? That's the Yer Levim. There's no shortage of Gedolei service. If you tell him to make sure there's no Torah, but his rebbe, he's got to go with him. But he's not going to meet Bar, he's going to be in the team. He's going to place it with Mare Kulu Chachomim. So what's he going to slip his rebbe with? So they bring down that he'll yell from other people, whatever, not his rebbe. He won't understand as well. You'll miss the certain thoughts, you'll miss things about from your rebbe. You're learning with your rebbe. You learn from other people. They may be greater, but you don't get it clear. So one of the four, I can't remember what it's called down, says that he won't get it clear and he won't understand his Torah properly. And therefore he's called dead. Means he's learning, and he's learning from the Chachamim, but he's missing something small, even that's called death. I mean, when it's touched from the source of love. I had an idea yesterday. Musa idea. Is the world very focused at the moment about those trillion miners, right? So maybe the thing, it's attracted the world's attention. Yeah, these guys have been underground for like almost 2 months or whatever, and they want enormous engineering feats to slip these guys up. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know what I'm talking about?
They just pulled up 11.
Yeah. Unbelievable. These guys were in a mine, and the mine collapsed or whatever over 2 months ago. For 17 days, they didn't know if they were alive or dead. They eventually found them all alive. They managed to drive a shop that had the size of a grapefruit. These guys are deep under the ground. They're so deep that it takes 15 minutes to bring each guy up. The journey from where they are to service takes 15 minutes. So I don't know how fast it goes away, but they're deep underground. It's boiling hot down there, okay? So they brought the best engineers and whatever, and they eventually dug a shaft down to these guys, and they built a special metal cage that checks them up and whatever, etc., etc. And they saved these guys. But they brought the biggest engineers, because you've got to work out. You can imagine the shaft that they built these guys collapsed, and the dead is worth a whole. It's an amazing thing. They saved these people's lives. So here's the following idea. We're learning a lot of yak points in the ship at the moment. Yeah, digging pits and how far you got to build the pit from another guy from the stalls, whatever. And they go, oh, sugar. The Rashis, to understand what's going on, where we are. So what do? How do we learn? We learn whatever. We get a bit of Rashi. We more or less got Rashi. It's not the fake. Choices is a bit easier. So the heck with Rashi, we'll go with fake, whatever. And Vaita, we got Vaita. Hold on 1 second. Your life depends on you understanding this Rashi. We're talking about how you build a ball. These guys, when they designed these shops, they were to save these miners. They understood they were saving lives. They didn't take any chances. They waited a few extra days because they weren't sure, whatever. And they bring it up very slowly because it goes too fast. They collapse it. Major league engineers from all over the world. Because they understood there's lives at stake here. Kehem chayei luvayefeh. These are our lives. Understanding Torah and getting trapped here. That's our lives. The Jew doesn't understand something in Torah. Necromate. He's like he's dead. So we have to learn from this. What do you learn from this? You have to take out of this. You know, Kanami ain't bored down. You've got to save lives there. But you've got to learn how. When you're learning a sugi, you've got to get church. You've got to know what it was. You've got to get it clear. You don't understand it right. You're going to sleep. There's a famous maestro by the Brisker Rock. I'm nervous to talk about the Brisker Rock and Rosetti sitting there, but this is a well known story about it and all the story. The Brisker Rock was learning one night with a Chuck. Chuck was the Brisker Rock's calling mover. And the truck had a cash in the Rambam. They don't want an adventure of Chuck went home. In the middle of the night, the Brisker Rock had an answer for the Chuck Kasha. They told his son, go to Chuck and tell him I got an answer for the Rambam. So his son said, in the middle of the night, maybe he's sleeping. He said, for sure he's not sleeping. So he said, how do you know? He said, because if he had a cash on the Rambam, he wouldn't have gone to sleep until he got an answer. And if he had an answer, he would have come to tell me. So I know that he's awake. Sure enough, the son went and he found a shot for trusting in the Rambam. Go to sleep. Ramosha Pansky never slept for 3 days, they said, well. Because he couldn't get trapped in a rush. Go to sleep. The Shach was fasted for 11 days before he gave a suck. There was a trial about separating Simon's twins or whatever, which was going to kill one of them, whatever, the whole maestro. The Moshe, I think, fasted for 11 days before he gave a suck. You understand? It's a human life. That's how we have to approach every Gemara. Every piece of Chumash. My life depends on it. Okay, that's the end of the Musa now. But I was just—that's what the insight I had from this Chilean mining event. Was when you're digging a ball, lo yakbo, you got to get it clear. But the error. Hatoyiv also alain the betzivoy tzmidi ubachat ubachay. Ubrega shu lo chay beruchnias haray bittel mitzuzu shol bachat ubachay. We have a mitzvah, it's constant mitzvah, it's not one of the constant mitzvahs. It's the basis of all the mitzvahs, it's not a mitzvah, it's such. We have bechira, we're not robots, we have bechira. We're bechira, how bechira, fine, I know this, it's a big sugya. But the minute a person doesn't live a spiritual existence, he's mevatel the mitzvah, b'chat b'chayim, not b'chat b'chayim. The person's going to take himself from a ruchnis existence, and he's just living a purely physical existence, he's not being b'chat b'chayim. לכן צריך אדם להיות מקור של יוד גמי לכל מלדו בכל רגע ורגע על ידי אמונה אדם בויכה בחיים. The person has to be connected to the Yud Gimel Korim all the time. Because via this imuna, a person is bachat b'chaim. Shekain tzadik ben monster yichye. And therefore, his yichye will live in the next world. Nimta kashay einu boicha b'emunosoy. Azayu rak beged a kayim v'lo beged a chay. That's no question. When a person is not being boicha b'emuna, so he exists, but he's not alive. And we all know that from our own experiences. There are days where you didn't open a Gemara, you didn't learn, whatever, you had a whatever, you don't feel so great at the end of the day. You don't feel alive. Because we're very much, it's quite frightening. I was talking to Mashgiach in Yeshiva Ketanis today. The son explained to me, the biggest problem the Bokhin don't know they're supposed to enjoy their learning. No one ever told them that learning is supposed to be enjoyable. Where they told you in grade one that you're supposed to enjoy your learning?
That learning about your smart. Not told me meant to enjoy an ice cream. It shouldn't be coming
every. Yeah, that's because of a goof. The goof knows what enjoys, what doesn't enjoy.
The
summer day. No. One second. Don't want to go down this path or not. That's what your Rizal Salanta understood. When the Rizal Salanta came in the Bob Central in his own way, they understood that there was something sick in the generation. And he didn't need it. But normally, a normal healthy human being with a normal healthy whatever, normal healthy the summer, doesn't need to be told that you enjoy your learning. Any more than a kid needs to be told that you enjoy asking. But the generation got behind it, below a red line of what's called normal healthy, where he needs to be told, you know, I'll give an example. Let's say a guy loses his appetite. You have things like this in medicine, right? Where guys just don't feel like eating anymore. He could wither away and die because he just lost his appetite. And so the guy's sick. So you have to give him drops, and you have to give him an IV drip, and you have to give him some way to make up for that sickness that he has. Same in Ruchnir. A Jew could be in a situation where he just has no cheshek for Ruchnir anymore. He's in the matzah of illness. He feels sick. So what's the medicine? The Rizal Salanta introduced a thing called Dibur Amusa, the Baal Shem Tov introduced a thing called Limud HaChassidus. They're not that different. Today we don't have any of that. There's faint echoes of Chassidus and faint echoes of Musa. But there was an Akudah. Rizal understood, the Baal Shem Tov understood in his own way, that the door had gone below a certain red line, and therefore we need to tell them that they need to enjoy the food. Yeah, you're right. A normal healthy human being, you don't have to tell him that you enjoy learning. He'll do it even if he doesn't enjoy it. He knows he has to do it, and eventually he will come to learn it. You give a guy honey, you don't have to tell him it's sweet. He doesn't learn Gemara, I don't have to tell him it's sweet. It's the sweetest thing in the world. Yeah, but it tastes bitter to me. Honey tastes bitter. Ah, you want a sick guy? Yeah, well, it's fine. It's like a Gray's Anatomy, and you look up what's in the cures, and you cure it. The Rambam says that we must want a prophet. The same as your physical doctors, you have Ruchnir Sikha doctor for Ruchnir Sikha ailment. Yep, that's an akuda.
Can you say there's no Yetahara to not have an answer as opposed to learning one?
Yeah. You want to say there's Yetahara not to enjoy your learning? Could be. Oh, brilliant question. Beautiful. That's what he's asking. The ancient test of the Gedolah, when they made Birkas HaTorah, understood that in order for us to have sweet Torah, requires a special Siyat HaDishmaya that every Jew, every morning, has done for every other Jew. Again, Birkas HaTorah, we daven that Hashem should sweet in the words of Torah in our mouths, in our children's mouths, and all Klal Yisrael's mouths. It means you need a bracha every morning that every Jew has to do for every other Jew that he's going to enjoy his learning today. Because there's a Yetzirah that comes along and says, this is what you call, this is what an intelligent human being spending his day doing, discussing whether the boy should eat 3 tfachim or 6 tfachim, or that's what you've been cracking about for 6 months. That's called enjoyable. Come outside, I'll show you what's enjoyable. I'll tickle some of your nerve endings and see how enjoyable it is. That's called enjoyable. To counter that Yetzirah, you need every Jew to love to every other Jew. Because there's nothing worse than a Jew learning Torah is not enjoyable. A kid is learning and he doesn't enjoy his learning, there's no bigger torture than that. And if you don't tell the kids they're allowed to enjoy their learning and they're supposed to enjoy their learning, Litanig and Hashem that they're in this world for, you learn wrong pshat in the Siddur Yisharim, you destroy them. The Siddur Yisharim says that why are we in this world? What is the purpose of the creation? Litanig and Hashem, Lahanik and Hashem. You know what I'm talking about? The Siddur Yisharim right at the beginning says, the shayrish of all reality is knowing that a person has to come to understand there has to be this aneg al Hashem, to have pleasure with Hashem, but the highest mizuch shinata, and to radiate joy is the radiance of Hashem shchina. There's the two things that a person has to do. Then he's going to say that that's all in the lama va, and the lama there you have to earn it, and that's the reward. Revolving from a duke in the Masilis Yisharim Rad, that the olama va, the message of the lama va, is only the second thing. Lahanis is in Shinosa. Nisanag and Hashem is in this world. Lahanis is in the next world. If he teaches the kids wrong chat, you know, to Sharif, he teaches the nine trainings in this world. In this world you work and stuff, and this world gets invented. The kid doesn't know that there's a problem that he's learning and he's miserable. He thinks that's normal. Now how can you do something that you don't enjoy for? There's a few rare individuals could do something that don't enjoy it forever and become great at it. But 99% of people, if they're not enjoying it, eventually you're going to dump them. So you taught the kids that they're not supposed to enjoy their life, they're supposed to be sisters. But what are you going to do with the sinister shark? The sinister just told you, whether it's awesome or what, I don't know, but having enjoyment is just not irrelevant. You've got to do what you've got to do, enjoy the thing in the next world. If enjoyment is all, if you get some, it's not, it's not what we're here for. If there's too much enjoyment, you've got to be able to be a number of quid. You have to enjoy it, be careful, it might be the gate door if you get enjoyment. That's how people have chatted at the sinister shark. I'm learning the sinister shark now. Wrong chat, right chat. And it's, once you see the deal from the Swiss drama, it's quite posh. So, like this. Egg lay tau, by the way. Now, Thomas is egg lay tau. He says, if people make a big mistake and they think that learning is small means when it's not enjoyable. When you're getting enjoyment from your learning, that's not really small. Because you're learning for the enjoyment. He says, the ikkari shmoy is the enjoyment. It's a beautiful loss of it. Ain't God, God only there, I think, is that loss of it. There's no greater mistake than this. The ikkari shmoy is the enjoyment. You can give your present. Enjoy it, at least. When you give your kid a present, what's your ikkari enjoyment? It's watching the kid enjoy it. You buy a kid a bicycle, he doesn't like riding. How do you feel? You buy your kid a bicycle, you see mamash out there enjoying it. Ah, that's the enjoyment. The Shem gave us his Torah, yeah, and he says, go play with my Torah. Doesn't say go learn my Torah. Listen, Shashua the Torah. Hashem's playing with the Torah. Go play with my Torah, Shem says. But enjoy it. And you sit there miserable. That's why Hashem destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. That's important, because there's such a shalom that Hashem was in through a tribulation. You were serving Hashem without simcha. Just as fine, I don't need you. Destroy the Beit HaMikdash. The Rizal says the Iker Kim of Trili, Simcha. The person that stands below Simcha is terrible Haira. Standing below Simcha. You crack an appointment with a chef, a one-on-one personal appointment in his office alone with the chef, and you sit there miserable. Anyway, how you enjoy this world, that's an art. He joins this world properly, especially this world that we live in. That he's just so riddled with gashmis until today, until tomorrow. Anyway, today I've referred you to the solution. There's a thing that's going to share one called the Dusa Tachila in English, which we now have apparently. Yeah? You told me you got it? Kololoshim, Oscar out. It's back again. We had copies of it that got lost, and on the MP3 it doesn't exist for some reason. It blocked off the computer. It's called the Dusa Tachila, huh? So Kololoshim, yeah, apparently you can download it from Kololoshim. Yeah, so that's where we found that recently that you get on Kololoshim. You've heard it? If you don't listen to anything else in your life, listen to this shit. And it's some way to see on how to just get through this world, enjoying yourself and saying, I'm not eating up your Olam Haba. Because completely off the subject.
What's
the thought? The problem is like this. Rabbi Zal would like to bring it down. The enjoyment you get in this world eats up your reward in the next world. He said it in Yiddish. He said, mit ein Shabbos to Chimus, with one Shabbos Chimus, it can offer from the ganze Olam Haba. You can eat up the whole Olam Haba. The Bale Musa thought that he told me because it was the Blaza, but the Bale Musa spent a lot of time trying to grapple with this problem. First of all, how does it happen like that? How is it possible? We said Kaburas on this, we spoke about it at length, and years ago we learned the Sugya, a lot of Eon in the Yeshiva. How can you eat up Olam Haba with your place in this world? There's no reward for a mitzvah in this world. You put on tefillin. You can eat a million cholent, you're never going to touch the schar. The result is with one cholent, you can eat up all your tefillin. How does that work? There's no reward in this world. It means there's no currency in this world that can pay for that mitzvah. What are you talking about, Bichlal? But, and then second of all, assuming that it is correct, we'll try to build a goyin that opens it up a little bit. But how do you save your mitzvah? So everybody you listen to the tape, you go to the four main categories of how you save your bitzvah, and then he gives a pshat on in today's world, because none of those are shachbar. Those levels are way beyond our level, except one of them. The quickest way to save your mitzvah is to get other people to do mitzvah. If you get other people to do mitzvahs, your mitzvah observance is not judged. It's 100% mitzvah, so you don't pay for that. That can't be touched. Anyway, he discusses that, and then gives his chat on how to live in this world, enjoying this world to the fullest, and at the same time not eating up all your schar. It's a very essential shir. Because nefesh is in the anyway, so, and I'm not even going to try and give it over, because he just gives it over so beautifully that I would do. I could give you the word, but it's not. The shir, the way he gives it over, talks about his sister, his mother, very, very interesting. Very interesting. So that's the message. We're in this world, Nigel Hashem. You're supposed to enjoy this world, you're supposed to enjoy your learning, you're supposed to enjoy what you're doing, you're supposed to be the simcha. How are you going to hand over to the next generation something that you're miserable about? How are you going to encourage your kid to learn and become a Talmud Chacham if you don't enjoy your learning? Why would your kid want to be like you if you're miserable? What intelligent kid's going to say, I want to be like Dad? Why? Yeah, because he's miserable. So you've got to learn how to enjoy your own learning. So to know that, to do that, you've got to be told that learning can be enjoyable. How are you going to do that? Okay, that's fine. But in a generation where most kids are taught that being miserable is a myth, so that's not a challenge. But the Mashiach told me they have to actually teach the kids that you can enjoy your learning. Because by the time they get to Shemitah, they don't know it anymore. No one told them that there's a schmuck to learn. When they first started the yeshiva, they said they can't do it anymore, but they let the kids learn whatever they want to. In the morning they had a slate, in the afternoon the kids could learn whatever they want. The kids that came out of those yeshivas today, every one of them was sick. They learned what they wanted, it's enjoyable. They learned what they want, how they want, where they want, whatever. One slate is, do what you want.